Hello and welcome. This is Doug Foresto. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. I want to talk about a topic today that actually it came up because I was doing a presentation recently at Westfield State University in Massachusetts, where I teach, and we were talking about social media and navigating difficult conversations or challenging conversations online. And one of the things that came up is the idea of offending people. And I think this is one of the things that when I speak to my clients and when I speak to other people in the field, one of the things people worry about a lot, and certainly, of course, you know, I think about it as well, is if we speak up and we say what we want to say, are we going to offend someone? Are we going to hurt their feelings? And conversely, what happens if we feel offended, right? If you're looking at something that someone writes or someone posts and you think that it is not necessarily something that is correct or something that someone should be saying, what responsibility do we have to speak up? And I was sharing a story. I was sharing kind of a funny story at that time in the presentation about this person who posted something political online. And, you know, I wasn't really paying that much attention. It was late at night and I was kind of irritated and tired anyway. And I posted, you know, they posted something and I posted back and they posted and I posted and I was getting all upset and, you know, it was going on as these kind of, this is on Facebook. So as these Facebook spats kind of can do, we were going back and forth. And finally the person actually reached out via instant message and they IM'd me. And he said, "Hey, you know, I saw that you came from New Jersey." And my immediate thought was, "Ah, you jerk, you know, why are you talking to me?" But we started talking more and I realized that, wow, we actually knew some people in common and had grown up in the same area. And we actually ended up connecting. And I won't say we're friends, but someone that I definitely now am acquaintances with online and certainly don't fight with him online as well. And, you know, I think I learned some things from that experience. You know, one thing I think to think about, you know, as we think about creating change and dialoguing with others online, you know, one of the things I think we have to think about is, are we just screaming at each other or are we really having a conversation? And when you look at a lot of what's happening, you know, and I think about politically, right, maybe, you know, I don't think it's any, it's, you know, I have a fairly, I would say a fairly independent streak politically, but I tend to lean more to the left than the right. And, but yet I have very good friends who are conservative and, you know, interesting, you know, obviously from the election onward and before the election, it was just, it's been something where, you know, people have been very angry at each other. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but you may have had even, you know, family members that post things that you think cross the line. And then what do you do with that, right? How do you handle that? What do you do? And so that's what I really encourage you to explore. And that's what we're talking about in this episode is, what do you do when, let's say, something that you post, someone finds offensive, or that you see something that's offensive, and what do you do? Now, I was talking to a group of social workers, and in social work, in the profession of social work, we have what's called the code of ethics. And the professional code of ethics says that as social workers, we have a responsibility to, part of our code of ethics is that we have responsibility to social justice. So if someone posts something that is inflammatory or offensive, one of the things we can certainly do is we can unfriend them, right? Or we can hide their post, thinking specifically now about Facebook. But, you know, with Facebook, certainly you can unfriend them, you can hide their post. Depending on the social medium that you have, you know, one of the things that's important to know is to look at, to understand how the medium works. You know, if it's Twitter, you really have a limited amount of options. You can certainly unfriend someone on Twitter or stop following them, rather. If it's Snapchat, that's another thing. If it's Instagram. So one of the things I would encourage you to do is understand and know the medium that you're communicating in and what the possibilities are of what you can do. But I also think that we miss something. If we just unfriend everyone who doesn't think like us, then I think we're missing an opportunity to have a dialogue, right? Yet at the same time, you know, I know that there are people that I've had conversations or tried to have conversations or tried to reach out to, and they post things that I think are fairly inflammatory and just factually untrue. And I just don't want that stuff showing up in my feed because it's, quite frankly, it's just upsetting me, and it's not really doing anything positive. It's not moving my life forward. It's not moving their life forward. And at that point, I might choose to disengage. But like I said, I encourage you to really look at understanding each social medium and what the possibilities are, whether you can block that person, whether you should unfriend them. And these are kinds of things that, there are no easy answers to, what's the right thing to do. At times, the right thing to do may be to reach out. What I did say as well, in my presentation was what I encourage people to do is, I think it's definitely a mistake to call people out directly on their page. If somebody says something and they seem misguided, I don't think that calling them out on their page about it is a good idea because it only, first of all, you're embarrassing them. And where is that going to go? When people feel embarrassed, they tend to shut down and just harden into their positions. And that really isn't going to be very helpful. So I think reaching out to people individually, if you really want to have a dialogue with someone and you really want to see where they are, you could reach out and say, listen, I read something on your Facebook feed that you wrote. I'm wondering, I know personally that was hurtful to me, and I know it might be hurtful to other people. I'm wondering if that was your intention, or I'm hoping that wasn't your intention, but I would love to talk to you about it. And I think if you reach out to someone individually, that you're much more likely to have an impact. And one of the things that came up as well is the idea that, change, it happens in relationships. And that, again, is one of the basic tenets of social work, that we have to develop and build off relationships. So if we're just screaming at each other online, then that obviously isn't going to build the kinds of relationships that we want. So the more that we're able to engage people and have relationships, the better chance there is that we're actually going to not necessarily make people think like us, right? That's part of what we need to really think about is that the idea isn't to make everyone think like us. The idea is to at least have a dialogue. And if there is something that's truly offensive that we think is really shouldn't be out there, then maybe we can help this person be more mindful about what they're doing and realize hopefully that, it's okay to have differences in political opinions or differences in cultural opinions, but it's not okay to, it's not okay to put things up that are just really hurtful to other people. So one of the things that I would encourage you to think about is that, if you see someone post something and it seems kind of inflammatory, reach out to them individually if you decide to reach out to them. The other question is, how well do you know this person and how much influence do they have? And you have to kind of figure out, that song, know when to hold them, know when to fold them. So I think the other piece we have to think about is, do you want to fight this battle? Is this a battle that you need or want to fight? And we don't have to fight every battle online, right? We don't have to challenge. I think that's one of the things that happens too. People talked about, a lot of people had stories about just kind of getting into Facebook spats or getting into Twitter fights. And is that really a good use of your time, right? When we think about creating change and having influence, is that really something that is useful? So you want to think to yourself, I think one of the things to think about is being mindful to realize what's my intention here? What am I trying to accomplish? And sometimes we're just in a bad mood or we're just tired and we get sucked into these conversations. And I wouldn't even call them conversations, really. We get sucked into these arguments and it just goes on and on. And really nothing gets accomplished, right? This podcast is called Creating Change. The whole point of it is that we want to be able to create real change, not just to have fights online. That really isn't going to be very helpful. Another thing that I want to make you aware of, when you think about when you see something online, is that this idea that we can have a fight or flight reaction just from seeing a post or reading a post. And I've definitely experienced this myself. I'm sure that you probably have. And there was a post that I put up on a slide, and it said, we'd rather do business with 1,000 Al-Qaeda terrorists than one single American soldier. And, when you first read that, it kind of makes your blood boil a little bit. And then it says, you realize that it's an advertisement for a funeral home. And then it kind of changes things. But when they posted that, a lot of people, they got very angry because they couldn't see the rest of it. Because once they got upset, they couldn't read the fine print and realize what it was. And you know, if you, what happens is oftentimes if we have a deeply held belief or a value that's really important to us, and then someone posts something that challenges that belief, right, in a way that maybe makes us feel unsafe and makes us feel not okay with the world, we can tend to go into a fight or flight reaction. And it's very similar to a trauma response that we might have if we felt like our lives are being threatened. So what ends up happening is the front part of the brain, which is the neocortex, starts to shut down because you're having this this emotional reaction, and the more deeper emotional parts of the brain, the amygdala, which is responsible for, it's a more primitive structure of the brain that has that fight or flight response, takes over. And so you're not able to really think through and think rationally, right? So it's like, it's the kind of part where you're on the road and you're driving and you get angry and somebody cuts you off and you get angry, and all you can see is, you know, chasing after them or something, or you just focus on them, and it again triggers the more primitive structures of your brain. So another thing I think that we need to practice when we're online and we're offended by something, and this is where I think we're most likely to actually write something that's offensive, is I don't think anyone listening, that if you're listening to this, that you're someone who's going to purposely write something that's offending people or hurting people. But I do think that in response to a post that maybe triggers a fight or flight reaction, we might actually end up writing things or responding in ways that might be actually ironically hurtful to others, so that in our attempt to defend others or defend ourselves, we may actually end up hurting other people. So that's where I think there's a real opportunity as well for us to stop, you know, and I definitely encourage you not to, you know, just post blindly when you know, if you see something and you feel very strongly about it, see if you can step aside for a moment. I mean, the good thing about social media, you know, with the exception of maybe Snapchat, where it goes away after, you know, once it goes away, it plays once and it's gone. Most social mediums, you can always come back. And so the opportunity is there to just walk away and close the computer, turn off your mobile device, and then take some deep breaths, do something else, and then come back to it. And if you do that, then you can ask yourself, okay, what do I want to do here? Do I want to try to reach out to the person individually and try to make a connection? Do I just want to get rid of these posts? You know, one of the things I'll ask you, is, have you ever met someone that, or known someone that you really like in real life, but you just can't stand them on social media? I certainly know people like this that, you know, they're wonderful people in real life, but on social media, they're just awful. They repost every, you know, racist, xenophobic thing that they can possibly post. And no matter how much you try to address it with them, they just don't seem to get it and they keep doing it. So what I've decided in those cases is that in order to maintain a relationship with those people, I find it better to simply, you know, I would rather just in some way or another hide their posts or unfriend them or block them, so that, you know, I don't have to look at that and I can have an actual better in-person relationship with them and not have to look at their social media stuff. But again, that may not be the right decision for you. I'm not saying that that's the only decision or the only way to handle it. I think that's one of the things that's kind of challenging about social media and about navigating difficult situations online, is that, you know, if there were only one way to deal with it, then that would be one thing. But because there are so many variables, I'm not saying that the way that I would handle it is necessarily the way that you should handle it. But I will say that I can't see anything good coming out of, you know, creating fights and yelling at each other and acting from a place of, again, you know, a place of a trauma reaction. The other thing that I'll say is, so this idea of, you know, being mindful, right? Step away. You know, one of the principles I think is just step away, take a deep breath. And if you can, just give yourself, you know, at least 5 or 10 minutes and come back. And it's not so much about the amount of time, but it's more about when you feel like, you know, when you're feeling like you are calmer and you're feeling like you are able to engage that rational part of your brain more, then come back and decide, okay, you know, what do I want to do? And There are lots of ways to influence and engage people. I do think, the other thing I want to ask you about or think about is the idea that, some people in this presentation that I did were saying, I just get rid of anybody that I don't agree with. They didn't say it quite that way, but they said, I just get rid of people that are stupid. And of course, stupid are people that they don't agree with. And so one of my questions to you is, what do you think about that? One of the things that people do, right? One of the things that the research shows is that there are people who curate their feed, meaning that they block and unfriend everybody until they're just left with the people that they agree with. And so it ends up becoming like an echo chamber, really. And so my question for you about that is, what do you think about that? Is there something that's lost? And you can, I'll tell you my bias right now. I don't think that that's a good idea. I don't think that change happens by finding people that are just like us and reinforcing our own beliefs. I think that that's intellectually lazy. I think that that isn't, really there is no change there, right? I mean, if you are to start with all the people, as I say, preaching to the choir, if you're preaching to the choir, there's no need for change, right? It's not threatening because now everyone that you're talking to is just like you. But at the same time, it's also not rewarding, because, like I said, I have good friends who think differently than me. And I think part of the creative process is the friction between the conversations of people who maybe see things differently than us. And is it possible? Is it possible that we could have conversations with people who maybe politically in other ways see things differently, but also believe and want the same things that we do, right? That actually do want to help other people, that do want a society that works for all, that do care about people, but they just have a different way. They just look at things in a different way. And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. I think that there are many, many people who, are well intentioned. And like I said, I think that the creative process comes from dialoguing with people who may be different than us. And that difference actually can be a rich and important, even the conflict that comes from that difference really helps spur creativity. So to me personally, I would not want to have a social media and Facebook or Twitter feed, or any social medium for that matter. I would not want to have a feed that was preaching to the choir, that was simply a feed where everybody agreed with me. I just don't think that that gets us anywhere. It feels good in the short term, but in the long term, it doesn't really do anything useful or meaningful. The other thing that I think is really important is just some of the basic good principles of communication that we would do offline are the same principles of communication that we need to do online, right? So one of the ones that Stephen Covey talked about in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is seek first to understand, then be understood. A lot of times on social media, we do not use the same kinds of communication principles that we would use in real life. And one of the things I talked about as well is the idea that on social media, a lot of times we don't have the visual cues that would create empathy. And I said it was similar to, in a way, it's similar to driving in your car, where you see people on the road and they're screaming at each other and they give each other the finger. But when you go to the grocery store, you really don't see people. People will wait on long lines and you don't see people doing that same behavior. Why is that? Well, I think it's because a couple of reasons. I mean, one reason, quite frankly, is because if you do that in the grocery store, somebody's likely to, boink you on the head. And in a car, you feel protected, right? You feel like, well, I'm in this giant piece of metal and no one can touch me, so I'll just be a little bit more abrasive than I would normally be. And I think it's the same thing online. Sometimes we feel like we would say things or do things because we're behind a computer. We have to really be careful about that, right? And if we expect courtesy, we have to give that same level of courtesy to others. But at the same time, also, I think because we don't have the cues necessarily, those empathic cues. We can't look in someone's eyes. You post something, you can't really look at into the eyes of everyone who reads it and look at how hurt they might be. And I think if we could, I think that we might actually treat people differently and we might change our behavior. And I say we, right? Because I don't want to just point the finger at other people. but to say that, you know, this is something that we all potentially could do. So we don't have those empathic cues and we're able to hide behind our computer. But if we really truly seek to understand, right? I mean, if somebody posts something that's just completely off the wall, then that's one thing and you've got to figure that out. But what if somebody posts something that you just don't agree with, right? And maybe you, I don't know what it is, something like, let's say somebody just posts, you know, I'm so glad that my president is Donald Trump. And you look at that and you read it and say, man, this xenophobic, racist jerk, you know? Well, why don't you try to understand, if you really want to create change and you really want to dialogue, then why don't you first seek to understand, why did that person write that? What does that mean to them? And you might find that maybe it's not the case that, you know, that the reasons that you thought are the reasons that they posted that. And maybe they have legitimate reasons, legitimate meaning you might not agree with it, but in their worldview and in their life, you could say, wow, that makes sense to me, right? Given your experiences in life, I can see how that makes sense to you. I mean, that's the beginning of conversation and the beginning of dialogue. If we can't seek to understand people, then we're not going to get anywhere. And then, right? And then when people feel heard and they feel understood, then they're more likely to hear your opinions as well. And, you know, as we sort of get closer to wrapping up, I just want to say that there is a balance between, as we use social media to evangelize, and of course, you've heard me talk many times about the importance of sharing your voice and, you know, speaking up and saying what you believe. And I do believe in that. You know, I'm not retreating from that position, that I think we have an opportunity and we have and I always want to challenge you to evangelize. I think that's very important. But at the same time, you know, we also have to remember that that online, you know, creating change happens in relationship and relationship happens in dialogue. So I think both can be true. I think that we can firmly state our position and we can put our beliefs out there. And then when people come to us and they say, I want to know why you said what you said, you know, what do you believe this? Why did you write that? That we can respectfully dialogue with them. But likewise, we have to remember that also when people share their experiences, that we also have a responsibility to engage with them. Now, I do think that, you know, part of it too is, I mean, one of the things that I try to do is to only have people who, I don't care whether you're conservative or whether you're liberal or whether, you know, whatever your beliefs are, I think the most important thing to me is I want to connect with people who are thoughtful and intelligent and well-intentioned. You know, if I can find someone, I would much rather dialogue with someone who's across the political spectrum from me, who's thoughtful and really wants to have a conversation, than somebody who is, you know, quote unquote, on the same side as me, but maybe isn't thoughtful, is posting out of some trauma reaction, right? That's not going to get us anywhere. So I think the other piece to think about is, in your social media networks, as you build your networks and you build your community, I do think that there is a level of willingness and ability that people come with, right? Or that they not just come with, but that something is it's a skill over time of, are you willing to have a meaningful conversation? And quite frankly, if somebody is really just trying to be inflammatory and, you know, it's like internet trolls, then those are the kinds of people that you probably do want to filter out of your social media life, because, you know, what value are they bringing to you? And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of what I look at when I think about what I want to do with my life and being able to use voice to create change. The kinds of people that I want to connect with are people who are thoughtful and mindful. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're a Democrat or Republican or left or right or whatever your labels that you have. If you're someone who cares about change and you care about the world in some way, and you're willing to have a conversation and you like having thoughtful conversations, thoughtful, respectful conversations, then you're the kind of person that I want, you know, in my community. And actually, I will invite you to say that if you're listening to this and you're that kind of person, please do connect with me on Facebook. You can find me at Doug Foresta. And actually, there's two Doug Forestas. So the one that I would invite you to connect with that I use most often is the one with just a picture of my face. It's simply just a picture of me. And, you know, I definitely would love to connect with you and continue the conversation there from the podcast. I also want to invite you that if you have something to say about voice and about creating change, I would definitely welcome you as a guest on the show. You can email me at dougforesta@gmail.com. So that's DOUGFORESTA @gmail.com. So to recap from this episode, I think it's really important that we realize that although we should not intend to offend people, I think it's definitely, you know, we definitely have a right to state our beliefs and realize and recognize that other people have a right to state their beliefs as well. But we want to just make sure that we're not coming from a trauma response, that we're thoughtful and mindful, and that if we want to talk to someone and we disagree with someone, that it's best to reach out to them individually, I think, and have that, build that relationship. And over time, you never know. Maybe that person that you thought was, you know, you thought that you could never talk to might end up being someone who helps spur all kinds of creative ideas for creating change. As always, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time with a new episode. This is Doug Foresta. Keep creating. The world needs your voice.